And by flipping our two ChatGPT lists, we were able to determine who's the biggest liar and biggest hypocrite amongst all of the celebrities on earth.
I find myself in this sort of hamster wheel where I'm doing work that doesn't move the needle instead of doing the work that will move it.
You can even have an AI boyfriend or girlfriend. But my audience is predominantly over 50s.
The feeling of satisfaction that I got from actually fixing this problem and saving that time was amazing. So it's just like another dopamine hit.
I only know one person, I think, maybe two, that have not used ChatGPT at this point.
This is Real AI Use Cases Business Owners Roundtable with hosts Elizabeth Gearhart, podcast consultant, marketing expert, and PhD researcher using AI every day, and Richard Gearhart, entrepreneur, seasoned business owner, and intellectual property attorney specializing in innovation. Here's how real companies are using AI right now.
I will ask each of our guests for one way that they're using AI in their business. We'll start with Jim Beach with jimbeach.com. Jim, what is one way that AI is helping you in your business?
So I alluded to this earlier when I was making my list of villains for The Real Environmentalist. We asked ChatGPT to rank the celebrities of the world, and we defined celebrities as, you know, people who might appear in People magazine and sports stars and stuff like that, and asked them to say, who are the people out there talking the most about their environmental effort? Who's out there claiming to be the best? And it made a list for us, and you can see that list on realenvironmentalist.com. Then I said, now take a list of people who are actually getting their hands dirty the most. Who are the entrepreneurs that there's pictures of out there cleaning birds and planting trees? And it made a list. And then I said, ChatGPT, flip those two lists. And so the people at the top here should be at the bottom here, meaning that they're honest people doing a lot of work that they're talking about. And the worst is when you're talking about a lot and doing nothing. And so that produced, created a number scaling system. And by flipping our two ChatGPT lists, we were able to determine who's the biggest liar and biggest hypocrite amongst all of the celebrities on earth.
Well,
and so
creative use.
It's not my opinion. It's not my bias.
Verified by ChatGPT.
So, if you don't like it, you have to argue with ChatGPT, not me.
So Joe Massa with PodtopiaNetwork.com. What's one way that you're using AI?
Using large language models is great for market research. It's great for asking questions and learning different procedures and how to sort of build something out. But what a lot of people are not using as frequently is AI is meant for automations. So we build a lot of different systems that eliminate a lot of busy work. I'm a smaller company. I've got an employee. I've got some interns, some people that help us out. But essentially, a lot of the day-to-day work, I have to wear a lot of hats. I'm the admin. I'm the payroll. I'm the marketer. I'm the face on the camera. I have to respond to emails and do a lot of the clerical work. So a lot of that is very time consuming. And then I find myself in this sort of hamster wheel where I'm doing work that doesn't move the needle instead of doing the work that will move it. So we implement systems in place that automate responses and firing off emails and form submissions that upload into our CRMs and build out these systems built on different AIs that a lot of people aren't quite as familiar with that really help streamline and make my day-to-day work a lot more efficient.
Do you have a company helping you do that that is an AI implementation company, or do you have your own developers figuring it out, or what?
So I do 99% of that myself. Podtopia originated the name. I'll give you a quick high level. I started an AI company called Flowtopia.ai, and it was meant to be a system of automations for any industry. But the Flowtopia and the Podtopia, we wanted to keep the nomenclature similar so we could brand it. But I've been just focusing more on the podcast side and really just doing a lot of the Flowtopia automations myself underneath, sort of in the background. It's sort of the glue that keeps the business running. And we're really testing out these frameworks. And I'm sort of my own case study where I'm proving that it works because it's really helping my business grow and thrive. And if it works for me, we can make it work for you as well.
That's awesome. Okay, Nikki Wake with chapter2dating.app. Are you using AI?
We're not actually using AI. I mean, you have to think about, there's a lot of talk in the dating industry about AI. I mean, you can even have an AI boyfriend or girlfriend as an example. But my audience is predominantly over 50s, slightly technically challenged, shall we say, in many cases. Some of my audience struggle to upload a photo. So the idea of unleashing AI boyfriends or girlfriends on that particular audience fills me with dread and fear. I'm a real believer that actually our site is all about human to human connection. And that's at the very core of what we do. So we're not using AI per se. I'm seeing personally a rise in people using AI to generate their dating profiles. And quite frankly, you can spot some of them at a million miles. clearly, you know, Bob in Texas is 75. You didn't write this. It's blindingly obvious, but you know, we gently put out quite a lot of communication about how to write an authentic profile personally and guide people where we can. But yeah, AI and dating, the jury's out for me, I'm afraid.
Okay. That's hilarious. But would you like ever use it for administrative purposes?
We kind of could. I mean, for instance, I have to screen profiles every single day. I personally vet every person who joins because we have lots of potential scammers who think that widows and widowers can be exploited. I could do that to AI, but nobody can spot a scammer like I can. And you know, that is all about human nature.
You're right, though. There are things AI can't do that it wants to pretend it can, but it can't. So Richard Gearhart with Gearhart Law, patents, trademarks, copyrights. What is just one? I know he's been in an AI craze lately, but what's one way you're using it?
One way I used it last week was to create a script for cleaning up file names. So when we tape Passage to Profit, we tape it on multiple cameras, and the hardware that we use creates a lot of junk files that make it hard to find the real files.
That's when we're in the studio, we use it.
Well, what I did was I asked ChatGPT, is there a way to clean up these files so I don't have to go through it manually? And it said, sure, you could use a program called PowerShell. And what it does is it goes on the operating system and it... You take a piece of code that ChatGPT writes and you paste it into a file, and then you click on that file and it automatically goes through and gets rid of all the garbage files and changes file names to something that is more useful for me. So
I am totally impressed.
Yeah, it's great. And it probably saves me 30 minutes per show when I'm just trying to clean up the footage so that we can get it to our editor. It just amazed me. And the feeling of satisfaction that I got from actually fixing this problem and saving that time was amazing. So it's just like another dopamine hit, you know? Okay, now I'm back into ChatGPT even more now. So I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Yeah. So for me, Elizabeth Gearhart, founder of Gear Media Studios, et cetera, I'm giving a presentation at Podfest Expo, which is a big podcasting conference in Orlando in January. Really fun. And my presentation is 5 tips to influence what ChatGPT says about you and your podcast. And I've been using different LLMs. I've been using ChatGPT and Google Gemini and Perplexity, and then the various ones within Perplexity to help me come up with the content for this. I've learned a lot. And a lot of it's back end stuff, but I'm comparing from different sources. And then there's also stuff I know that I've learned, like at different conferences and presentations and stuff that it didn't put in there that I've had to add myself. But then what's really interesting is the people that are running PodFest said, well, if you're giving a presentation, take your presentation and put that through ChatGPT and tell it to tell you what questions people will be asking you from your presentation.
Oh, that's so clever. Yeah, so you can kind of anticipate what you're going to get. Yeah.
And that was the PodFest people. That wasn't me that came up with that. But I thought that was really smart for anybody that gives presentations. You know, how could this be better? Although, I don't know. I think you have to keep it pretty real. I don't think I would ask it to write it for me or make it better, but I would ask it to certainly find questions.
Well, where I find it's been helpful, so I'm working on a series for the law firm of YouTube videos, and I'll ask ChatGPT to write a script for a YouTube video, and then I'll look at it and I'll rewrite it myself, just borrowing a few ideas here and there from ChatGPT. So it's good at that kind of thing. But again, I want it to be natural and coming from me and not from ChatGPT. And, you know, and just using it as a way to sort of add or verify ideas, I think is great.
So Joe and Jim, what are some other ways you're using it? We don't have to just keep it to one way. Does it tell you the wrong thing?
It definitely can. They call it hallucinating.
Right.
And certain LLMs are better for certain tasks. For example, one that's more of a human sounding writer and a little more creative in writing is going to be Claude by Anthropic. And that's just another LLM. It's a French one, but it's very similar to ChatGPT. ChatGPT is going to be more of your jack of all trades. Gemini is sort of in that field. Gemini has gotten really good with their AI studio. They've got their image generator. The newest one is called Nano Banana. Really powerful. Their video one is called Veo, V-E-O. And I think they're on the third iteration of that. Very good for those AI generated videos that you see. But it really depends on how you use it. And LLMs have a lot deeper functionality than people give them credit for. Most people use them like a Google search bar, and they just go, hey, what's the best way to bake salmon? And it'll spit out some recipes, and that's great. Or you go, hey, I need to write an email to my mother-in-law who I haven't talked to in years, and tell me what to say. And it spits out this great information. But in the settings and in the back end of those LLMs, there's a lot of ways that you can fine tune it to have your brand voice. There's ways that you can have it give you answers more like a consultant would, instead of just saying, hey, Richard and Elizabeth, what a great idea. You're the best and most amazing. And this is great.
Instead, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
No, those are great.
I mean, sign me up.
About chat doing that before the show. It's like, oh, you're the best thing since sliced bread.
I know.
So
it's very happy.
So if you go into the
LLM.
Settings, instead, you can go into the settings and say, hey, ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini, don't just agree with me on everything. Instead, treat me like a consultant would treat a client who's looking for real information. And you can sort of guide the way that it treats you and acts for you. So if you're using just the LLMs, those are great. But again, a lot of the automation tools, like, you know, for the no code or low code ones like make.com, there's Zapier, there's N8N. These are things that connect the tools you already use. For example, if you're using the Microsoft suite or the Google suite and you connect to Airtable and then you connect to Slack for internal communications, you can have an event trigger off a series of other events that follow behind it. So it's an automation flow that really takes away a lot of the busy work that you do and the work that's not something that only you can do. For example, Richard, you are the main person who does the trade copyright laws. You're the lawyer. Your expertise is really hard to come by. Anyone could be a data entry person. Anyone can reply to an email. So use AI or a virtual assistant to do the work that anyone could do so you can focus on the work that only you can do.
Well, and you brought up a good point. So a lot of software systems that we're using now have their own AI. So we're using Zoho for our CRM for the law firm, and it has its own AI. Now, Zoho has always done automations the whole time we've been using it, and we've used that piece of it, and it's really cool. Like, it's pretty effective, but we're trying to decide whether to keep using Zoho. I think we are, at least for a while. So we're going to dig into Zia and see how much Zia can do for us without even having to bring in a chat or another LLM. Jim, did you have any more AI comments?
I do have one more thought. We haven't mentioned using AI to remember what you have forgotten. So one thing that I'm using it for is to put an entire book in and say what characters are not developed as well as the other characters. Or you could put in a legal document and say, are there any things that I'm forgetting about? So, you know, if my friend and I make a one-page legal document on the back of a napkin, basically, we could put that in and say, is there anything that I'm forgetting? What else is there to consider? And even with a marketing plan, if you input your marketing plan and say, what else do I need to think of for this? I love it for that, helping me consider my bald blind spots.
For our audience, Jim is showing us his bald spot.
It's going to solve baldness pretty soon.
Some of us just don't care. Less work to do, less product to buy.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are using it in very interesting ways, and it'll be interesting to see how it progresses as time goes on. And I think I only know one person, I think, maybe two, that have not used ChatGPT at this point. It's catching on, much as the personal computer did. Like, I think people were pretty floored by that when it came out. Now everybody has it on their phone. So thank you very much.
You have been listening to Real AI Use Cases, Business Owners Roundtable.